Hey everyone, I am Reva and just want to take a moment and thank you for listening to our studio podcast. Although we are here in Greenville, South Carolina, we are grateful for your support to see the message of Jesus go out all over the world. In case you are not aware, we have a YouTube channel, which you can find the link in our podcast bio. We hope you enjoy this week's talk and it encourages you and it helps you to be the human God designed you to be. So with that, let's get right to it.
In the month of January, we try to take the whole month out of the church to kind of set the tone for the year. The four Sundays, today being one of them, I'm going to kind of share my heart, what's been on my heart for this year, for 2026. Obviously for our church, for you, for us, for me as well. This is a big year for Candace and I on a personal level. We both turn 50 in the next few months of our life. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Candace will be there first, and so she loves that. She loved to cross the line before me, and for about a month and 3 weeks, she just rubs it in. And so, but we turned 50 this year, and we have just been, you know, we're excited about it. We're kind of planning our festivities. We want to do a trip. We're just having fun dreaming about it, but it also feels really significant for us personally. Obviously, it's a big milestone age. And we've been together for a minute, so it's just fun to celebrate 50 together. And so we're just leaning into that personally, and like, God, what does that mean, and what does that mean for us? And so we're looking forward to getting, just seeing what God has in mind for us there. But we take the month of January specifically for studio. I'll share today. Candace will be sharing next week some things on her heart. And then the following week is our fourth birthday. Julian will be here. I want to encourage you, all of you, block out your whole weekend. Plan on coming to that workshop on that Saturday. Even if you have questions around the prophetic, concern, don't like it, or you love it, either way, our goal is to get as many of our people moving in that direction and to create a really healthy culture and to begin to lay a bigger part of the foundation when it comes to the spiritual gift that revolves around the prophetic. And Julian is someone that I deeply trust. We've been running together for many years, and they've been here already, but we've asked him to come in specifically to meet with some of our team, as well as a Saturday workshop, which is open to everybody, and then he will be with us on Sunday morning. And so make sure you're here for that, and if you have plans that we can cancel them, postpone them, rain check it, do whatever you can, but be here. We want to get as many of our church into that Saturday workshop as well as Sunday, and looking forward to that. And then the last Sunday of the month, we'll be kind of doing heart and vision, kind of going over some different things that happened last year and kind of what we're dreaming about looking forward to the next year. So just keep in mind, if you, for some reason you can't make a Sunday, grab the podcast, because we're going to be just taking this whole month and kind of setting the tone for the next year of our church and this community. You know, the mere fact that we all can dream, we all can imagine, we all can expect, it's evident that we were designed for something that doesn't exist yet. Just the ability, no other species, no other creature can actually expect or dream or hope for something. We are the only thing that God's created us to give us an ability to dream, imagine something that does not exist yet. So that tells us, and it tells me, that we are actually designed for the future. It doesn't mean we weren't designed for today, because today was the future. At one moment ago, it was the future. But we were all designed for what's ahead and what doesn't exist. In fact, I have found it very rare, if not, I can't think of one person that does not have the ability, that I've met in my life, that does not have the ability to dream or to imagine. Maybe you've lost your ability to dream, but you can still imagine. If I say pink elephant, everyone in this room can picture in their head right now, imagine a pink elephant. You're not thinking blue elephant. You're not thinking, well, now you are because I said it. You're not thinking brown. See, whatever I say, your brain is able to go make the picture of it. That's what's unique about us. We can imagine, we create. That tells me that God has actually designed us for something that doesn't exist yet. So it's natural for us. It's not something we have to work very hard at. Maybe as you've gotten older, you've had to work hard to cultivate it and re-find yourself in that. For children, it's amazing the imagination of children. It's amazing the ability to dream of the child and how a cardboard box can be a spaceship that travels to Pluto. And it came Amazon Prime tape all over it. See, that's the power of our imagination. We're actually designed. It's natural. It's normal. In fact, I think you're subhuman if you've lost your ability to imagine. You're not actually experiencing the way God designed you to be. And the reason I'm sharing this is because we were designed for what's ahead. We are designed for what hasn't happened yet. We were designed for promises that haven't taken place. We were designed for dreams and desires. We were designed to move towards them. Some of them may be far away. Some of them we don't know how close or how far, but guess what? We actually were made for that. We were designed and created for that. And anytime a world or a culture or an environment or a person diminishes that or squashes that or tries to get rid of that from you, guess what? It's impossible because it's so ingrained to who you are as a human. And I think one thing you'll learn, and we learn at the course of our life, as we truly embrace our identity as sons and daughters of the King, our ability to dream, our ability to imagine, our ability to expect only gets more. It only increases. And today, as we step into this new year, I was ruminating on this idea of the ability to dream and imagine. And what's fascinating is the Bible is filled with moments, sayings, and stories of stepping into the new, moving into new spaces. Matthew, for example, Jesus came to him and said, "Follow me." What did Matthew do? Left his job and stepped into following Jesus. He stepped into the new. The nation of Israel is standing at the edge of the Jordan River. They've already gone through the Red Sea. A generation has passed. Now they're standing between a little body of water that's moving and their promise that God spoke to them for hundreds of years. And the Jordan River split. The ground became dry. They walked through the Jordan River. They stepped into the new. You see, that's what we were designed to. We're designed to step into the new. There's verses throughout Scripture. Some of them say things like this: "No eye, no ear has heard what God has for you." Other verses say things like this: "We were designed to move from glory to glory." There's only one direction when you follow Jesus. It's glory to glory. It's not glory, de-glory, unglory, no glory. It is glory to glory to glory. There is this idea of moving into what God has promised. And as I was wrapping up last year in my heart and my soul and just kind of reminiscing a little bit and a little bit of nostalgia and reflecting on 2025 and just thinking about, honestly, it was a beautiful year on so many levels. It had its own quirks and challenges, as every year does, but it was just a year to be really thankful for. And as I was kind of closing up the year in my heart and looking into this next year, and there are two ideas, there's two phrases that kept emerging to the top of the pile, and we tried to reframe it, rename it. What does it mean? What is that? And these two ideas were this. One idea is this phrase, taking ground. Just kept coming to the top. Taking ground, taking ground. And then this other idea kind of emerged in that same process, and it was expanding territory. Expanding territory. To personalize it, expanding my territory. I want you to personalize that. Expanding my territory. Or you can take it to a communal level and say, expanding our territory. What's interesting about these two ideas, they actually are very different. They sound similar, but they're actually very different. In fact, the process for both of those to happen are actually vastly different. They're very distinctive in nature. And today I want to unpack these two, because these are the two ideas that I feel for me, for this community, for us, to set the tone for this year, is taking ground and expanding territory. Say that with me, taking ground and expanding territory. When you hold these two ideas separately, you run the risk of too much movement or too much settling that becomes stagnation. You see, the idea of taking ground is acquiring or gaining something that you don't currently possess. But expanding my territory, it actually points to and deals with what you already possess. So two very different ideas. They don't conflict. In fact, I would propose and say they actually complement each other. In a beautiful way, they're joined at the hip. They're like really good best friends joined at the hip. One's focused on taking ground and one is expanding my territory. Taking ground is acquiring what you don't have, don't possess. It's out there somewhere. And expanding territory is actually what you currently possess, what you currently stand on, currently occupy. It's just expanding. And I want to put both of these ideas into your soul today. I want to put both of these ideas into your framework today as you venture into 2026. It's a year of taking ground, and it's a year of expanding territory. Look at your neighbor and say, it's a year of taking ground. Okay, you need to say it with more conviction. Look at your other neighbor. Say, this is a year for taking ground. Now look at your first neighbor and say, this is the year of expanding territory. When you hold them separately, one produces constant motion without formation. And the other produces safety without growth. When you hold these two ideas separately, you run the risk of too much movement or too much containment. Movement without depth or settling that slowly becomes stagnation. So today, I want to join these two at the hip and say this is the emphasis for the year. It's taking ground and expanding territory. Taking ground deals with what is not yours, and expanding territory is what has already been entrusted to you. I want you just to think in your own life. What are the promises, things that you don't possess, but you know they're out there? Maybe they're just on the other side of a river, or maybe they're on the other side of a desert. Who knows? Or over that mountain. And then I want you to think of those things that are actually already entrusted to you that God wants to expand. And if you can't think of things right now, I want you in the next day, 2 days, next week, think through what are those things that God's calling me to take ground in, and what are those things that he wants to expand what I currently already have been entrusted with. Taking ground without enlarged capacity can lead to collapse. Enlarged territory without taking ground leads to stagnation. You see how these two work together? They're actually symbiotic. There's a symbiosis that can take place between these two. One initiates movement, the other sustains growth. One creates motion, the other one goes deep. And that's the beauty of these two ideas. Taking ground is about moving to what is not yet ours. Enlarging our territory is about enlarging your capacity for what already is. One is acquisition, the other is formation. One is about gaining space, the other is about filling the space. And today, I want to just continue to put this into you. Our cry, when you begin to put these two ideas together, your prayers, your cry sounds like this. If you give us more ground, make us larger on the inside. God, if you fulfill these promises in my life, grow my depth and my character. That's our cry. Our cry is, God, if you are taking us there, then give me the ability, the strength, the character to sustain what I'm about to step into. Because guess what? God actually will release those things in your life, but it's important that you are positioned in your heart to grow and expand who you are. I think some of us over-prepare. Not many of you, maybe just one of you. I don't know who that individual is. But some of us like to over-prepare character development before we move into something new. I got to make sure everything is in order. See, the problem with that is character can only be acknowledged or found out about once it's been tested. And we like to grow things with no pressure. We like to create these beautiful domes of greenhouses in our life and say, man, I'm a man of my word. And the reason why, because you have no opportunity to lie or take shortcuts. But the moment you put yourself in situations, then you find out where your character actually is. See, some of us are so removed from people that we think we're great men and women of character. But it's not until you get into proximity of other human beings that don't think like you, don't even like the way you think. You actually do life with them. They have a very different backstory than your backstory. It's in that moment you find out where your character really is. You see, we oftentimes like to prepare way too much, and God's like, no, I'm going to send you, then I'll shape you. You know that God called 12 disciples? They had no idea what they were doing. The only requirement was, I'll follow you. That was it. None of them had gone through any proper training whatsoever. And the most intense training ever on the face of the earth was following Jesus. You know why? Because God said, follow me, and I'm going to shape you, I'm going to form you, I'm going to create in you what only life experience and taking ground can actually do. I just have a feeling, I'm going to hang on this for just a moment longer. I have a sense some of us are just kind of waiting, but we're developing so much, but we actually need to move forward now. We need to stop training and preparing and actually start doing. Start actually applying and putting ourselves in proximity to tension, to problems, to societal issues. Actually taking risk in our life to find out, is this really real or just a great theory that I've learned? I'm going to move on because that is a rabbit hole. That's a lot of good stuff down there. Movement without depth is reckless, but depth without movement is fearful. I believe the future belongs to communities that can do both at the same time, take ground and expand territory. I believe the future belongs to those people and those communities that are able to go, we're going to take ground and we're also going to grow in who we are. And we love to pick one or the other. We love to spiritualize it and say, I'm in a season of this. I want to propose to you, you're in both seasons. Well, it doesn't feel right. I know, but trust me, it's your best route to go. Okay. What's interesting about all of this is, you know, I've seen in my own life, and these are some personal observations, and obviously my observations of interacting with people, specifically in the church space, and even outside of the church space, is kind of a human issue. And what I've learned is some of the main core reasons where people don't take ground or expand territory is not because of lack of vision. That's right. It's usually not that. I've learned in my own life and in others, it's shame. It's not lack of vision, because once you remove all the shame, vision's sitting right there. There's no lack of, I want to sit here for the rest of my life. Shame just convinces you, you should sit here for the rest of your life. And it's become your narrative, it's become your story, and shame leads to apathy. And so I want to take a moment to highlight this. See, shame is often mistaken for wisdom. This narrative of shame talks to us in such a conniving way that it sounds spiritual and it sounds like wisdom. This is what shame sounds like. You're not worthy of more. You've already failed too much. Stay small. It's safe here. Why would you do that? Shame just challenges the notion of moving forward because it wants to keep you here. I'm personally convinced some of us may think that the devil is working overtime on us. No, all the devil has to do is plant one idea that is off track from him. And if we dwell on it, it creates a life of its own. Shame convinces people that expansion and taking ground is arrogant. What's fascinating about shame, it convinces you you're right. What's fascinating too about shame is, let me go a step before shame, it's called deception. Now, the thing about deception, being deceived, you don't know you're being deceived when you're deceived. Because the moment you realize you've been deceived, then you're no longer deceived. That's the crazy part of deception. And so within that world of deception, shame enters the equation, and you have no idea you're being deceived, but shame sounds like wisdom to you, but it's actually rooted completely in shame. And our lives are constructed and guided and motivated by this narrative that we think is wisdom. And I'm telling you, this is a year shame is going to be revealed and you're going to be set free from it. Taking ground, expanding territory. You see, you can tell shame is active in your life when you want to run. You can tell when shame is active in your life is when you want to reject those around you, when they get a little too close for comfort. You can tell shame is when your reaction, I want to hide, I want to disappear. The other thing that shame does, it makes you want to dominate. Because something's trying to dominate you, and you're like, I'm going to over-dominate. The challenge is oftentimes love is trying to dominate you, and you reject it and dominate it. Because you're not convinced you could be wrong. We have some good friends. They said this phrase a couple years ago, and it's something that comes up every now and then with Candace and I. And it's just a great phrase. And you have to say it in the right tone. And it sounds like this. I could be wrong. It's a really powerful phrase. When you're in a moment of just in crazy dark narrative and you're believing all kinds of things in your life, if you could just pause and go, I could be wrong about all of this. Tell you what, that's called humility. And humility is the pathway out of shame. It is the pathway out of arrogance. It is the pathway out of deception. So I want to challenge you. We talk about taking ground. I've noticed that vision is usually not the issue. Most people have vision somewhere. It could sound like, I just don't want to have any more bad days. That's called vision. That's, I just want to move on to something else. Or it could be, I want to do X, Y, and Z. Shame is one of the reasons why people are not taking ground, why we don't take ground or expand our territory, because it's got our ear. Now, here's something has to happen before you actually move into a posture of taking ground and expanding your territory. This is a decision only you can make. This is something that no one else can make for you. It is one of the greatest acts of resistance that you can make. And it sounds like this. You can fill in your own word, but it sounds like this. I won't let darkness win. It's you just standing up, looking in the mirror in the morning going, I won't let darkness win today. It's looking in the mirror and telling yourself, I will refuse to let despair have the last story. It's you looking yourself. Put it on a post-it note. If you got lipstick, write it on the lipstick because it's really difficult to remove lipstick from mirrors. But make it permanent. Remind yourself, you have to make the decision. I will not let hopelessness guide my life anymore. You have to get a deep resolve and conviction. It requires resilience. It requires commitment. It requires a daily standing up and looking in the mirror and saying, I refuse to let despair have the last say in this. I refuse it. I refuse to let apathy inform my life. I refuse to let shame shape my future. It's you being adamant about it. This is where you start. Write it down. Do something about this. At one point, Candace and I, and we had bought our first home together. We lived there for 3 years, and then we moved to another house. And the first house was 900 square feet. We loved it. It was the coolest little home, 2-bedroom, 1-bath. And we had our first 2 kids in that home, and it was just really special for us. And then we moved to this 1,900-square-foot house, which is over double the size. We were excited about it, but we didn't realize how overwhelmed I knew I was not ready for how overwhelmed I was about to be moving into this much larger home. But with the interesting experience, because once we moved into this house, we realized what we didn't have. Because when you move 900 square feet of furniture into a 1,900 square foot house, there were empty rooms. There was a lot of wall space that you've never had before. Like I thought I had a lot of photos and art and pictures. I got enough for one little wall, and that's about it. So it's interesting, moving into expanding territory actually revealed what we don't have. But what it also did, it caused us to dream and imagine what could fill the space. It actually switched on us. Go, oh, wow, we have a guest bedroom now. We have never had a guest bedroom. Let's make this the coolest space so every time someone comes over, it's like an oasis. So we are now able to dream up what that room could look like. We had so much more wall space. Like, wow, let's paint it all these colors. Let's do something. But before, in the 900 square foot house, we didn't think about any of that. So there is something powerful when you say, God, expand my territory, because then you're forced to dream of what could fill the space. You're forced to go outside of what you're familiar with and start working and doing things that actually do acquire what God is actually entrusting to you. Don't be satisfied with where you're at in life right now. Don't be satisfied in how much in relationship with Jesus you are today. Be thankful for it. Be full of gratitude, but also understand he's saying, do you want more? Because there's a whole lot more to me. So the expanding territory is less about a material expansion, although I believe it's biblical. Today, I just want to encourage you, pray the prayer, God, expand who I am. Expand who I am. I want to be forced to dream where I don't dream anymore. I want to be forced to hope where I don't hope anymore. I ask you want to move back into a dimension of faith instead of just hitting cruise control in my spirituality. I want to be put in situations where I have to trust you. When we moved into a 900 square foot home, we had to learn trust for finances, trust for this, trust for that. But after a while, like, oh, I'm used to this now. It doesn't require faith anymore. It's just automatic. We moved into a 1900 square foot home. Everything got stretched again inside of us. This is what happened when you expand territory. It actually expands you back into a posture of, I actually have to have faith now instead of I'm able to just make this work. So I want to challenge you, is your faith right now on cruise control, or do you need to pray for expand your territory so you can actually reactivate the faith? You guys still with me? Okay, we're going to keep going. I'm going to read a verse to you. It's in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Now, I'm just curious, how many in this room have read 1 Chronicles in the last month of their life? You know what? Not one person raised their hand. And it's not surprising. You know why? Because it's a really boring book. It's actually an important book, but it's incredibly boring. It's just a bunch of names. It's a genealogy that just continues and continues, and then there's some things every now and then. But 1 Chronicles chapter 1 all the way to chapter 4, verse 10, it's just a genealogy. It's this massive line of individuals. So-and-so got together with so-and-so, begot so-and-so. They had five this and two of these and three of these. And it just goes on and on and on. And then by the time you get to chapter 4, verse 10, you read this verse. Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. And then it goes on, and so-and-so begot so-and-so, and three more people came from that person. It's this random verse stuck in the middle of a really long genealogy. And I find it fascinating. The author of this book thought, we need to interrupt this genealogy and put in a prayer that no one knows about this guy. His name is Jabez. No one knows what kind of guy he was. They don't know what he did, what his profession was, his vocation was. Was he a king, general, or just some? No one knows. But what we do know, his name was meant pain. His mom named him Pain because it hurt for him to come out. Mom had him and said, your name is Jabez, you hurt. So Jabez was raised his entire life. I caused my mom pain. Names meant a lot more than they do today. So imagine growing up in school, there's Jabez. You know what everybody knows what Jabez means? Jabez means you hurt your mom on the way out. Your mom named you Pain. So do you know why he prays the prayer? Keep me from harm, so I will be free from pain. He was done with that identity. So this random prayer, these genealogy is filled with people who lived lives, raised children, had job, lost loved ones, fought in wars, fell in love, and then you have this one random little prayer. I want to talk to you about this prayer. Let's break this prayer down just a little bit, that you would bless me. I'm going to tell you, if you have a hard time praying that prayer, I want to propose to you, you might have shame as your guide. I say this with all kindness, all humility, but with a little bit of, you need to think about this. If you cannot pray this prayer, God, I pray that you would bless me and my family. If you can't pray that prayer, and if that's hard to actually believe in, then shame might actually be your king. The scripture is overwhelming in the trajectory and the emphasis of praying prayers of blessing and favor, not just on other people, but on yourself. Some of you need to hear this today. So bless me. It's not wealth seeking. It's saying, God, I want your favor to be on my life. Psalm 30, verse 5 says this, his favor is for life. Not a moment, not a season. And the word life means lifetime. So you have every legal right, spiritual, theological, mental, physical right to say, God, would you bless me in my home? Second part of that prayer, enlarge my territory. What's interesting is it actually, in this context, it's actually referring to land, to real estate. Now, you might not think God didn't care about real estate. No, he really does. He really cared deeply about real estate. Now, we can also recognize God cared about real estate in our heart. Definitely cared about that. He cared about what's going on the inside, but I also want to say he does care about on the outside. I'm just going to say this out loud because I think some of you need to hear that. Some of you have been dreaming about land, dreaming about real estate. You've been dreaming about stuff. Keep dreaming. Say, God, bless me. Expand my territory. This land I'm dreaming about, I would like to have that. Would you make a way for that to become possible? And again, I would just propose, if that's hard to pray, then you might need to rethink whose voice you're listening to. This is about inheritance. This is about responsibility. This is an impact. It's not about ego. Are you guys still with me? Okay, I'm coming in. Coming in hot. Let your hand be with me. This is an important prayer. God, as you expand my territory and bless me, I want your hand to be with me. What's he saying? I want to be dependent on you. I don't want to just do this for the sake of doing it. I want to do this because I want to be dependent on you. So I'm asking that you be with me. Be with me in this so I can be dependent upon you. And the last part of that verse said, keep me from harm so I will be free from pain. It's another way of saying, I don't want my name to be my destiny. I don't want my story to be my story anymore. I want your name, your story to become my story. I was named pain because I caused a lot of pain. But God, keep pain from me. I want to move into my new identity with you. This is what he's praying. And you know what the best part about this verse is? And God granted what he asked. God granted what he asked. It's the same God today as then. So I want to challenge you, pray these prayers of taking ground, expanding territory. This prayer is not a prosperity formula. It's not some mantra for success. It's not a theological equation. If you line all this up, boom, everything lines up. No, it's not that. It is a protest against fatalism. It's a protest against despair. It's a protest against hopelessness. It's a protest against discouragement. This prayer is saying, God, I refuse to let the origin of my story continue and that you would change my story. Jabez didn't build monuments, he built capacity. This prayer, the declaration that pain didn't get the final word. This prayer is a theology of hope inside ordinary faithfulness. So this year, as we wrap up this time, taking ground, make note of, write it down this week. What are some areas you're going to take ground in? And then make note of what areas are you going to expand territory. Let me end with this. The beauty of when these two ideas are held together, there's no such thing as stagnation. Only seasons of movement and seasons of expansion. I want to read a verse to you before we close. It's in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 3. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your curtains wide, do not hold back. Look at your neighbor and say, do not hold back. Say it just like that. Nod your head too. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Why don't you stand?
Thanks for listening to today's talk. If you're interested in learning more about Studio here in Greenville, you can go check out our website, studiogreenville.com, and you can give us a follow on Instagram. Our handle is studio.greenville. Have a great week.